down and he's asking himself the question. He's taking himself in hand and interrogating himself for why what's going on in his life is going on. Until you can do that, you won't deal with depression, bitterness, anger, marriage problems, children problems. Until you can do this, you can walk up to yourself, grab a hold of yourself, take yourself in hand, ask yourself questions. Nothing will change in your life. Ever. Most people spend 99% of their time pointing there. Therefore, nothing ever changes. And we're going to talk about something so different today in Sunday school. Some of you are going to think that I'm a drug dealer. But you hear me. You can take all the drugs for depression you want to take. Until you learn to obey Scripture, those drugs won't help you. Secondly, I said you need to learn to preach to yourself. The psalmist wasn't preaching to somebody else. He was saying to himself, "Hope thou in God." That's preaching the Word of God. And thirdly, I talked about looking beyond yourself. Last Sunday morning in Sunday school, we talked in an introductory form about depression. I said depression is not in and of itself a sin. I said it's also not a sickness, which, of course, this whole week, every time I turn TV on to watch the news, there was some kind of commercial saying, you know, depression's a sickness like diabetes, blah, 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 blah. Which is a nice thought if you're trying to sell the drug that comes right after that statement. We also said that there's many causes of depression. I hope you heard that. One of our problems is if you get locked into an angle thinking depression is caused by this, that's all you know. There's a lot of factors are in depression. By the way, I already know if I do a couple of things, I didn't say this last week. If I don't exercise correctly, and if I eat too much, I get depressed. That doesn't sound very spiritual, does it? I would say most people could get out of their depression by doing good physical activity that gets their lungs going and not eating incorrectly. But if I do those two things, then I'm just kind of... And the last thing we said, that depression is not unique to you. Proverbs 31, let's all stand and we'll read that. We're going to look at the depression, biochemistry, and the Christian this morning. I don't know what biochemistry means, but my wife gave me the word, so I thought I would share it with you this morning. Verse 6. Well, let's start actually in verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son, and what, the son of my womb, and what, the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. You say, why? He lets you know. She lets you know. Lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. I don't think you want anybody in leadership that drinks. One of the things that drinking does is befuddle the mind. Think about one of our longest standing drunk senators. But then it goes on to say, give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. This is the only reference to this in a positive sense in the Bible. Strong drink is really a very, very poorly translated translation because it's simply the Hebrew word that is anything that's made from alcohol made from anything other than grapes. So when you have the Hebrew word yayin, tirosh, or wine, that's grapes. Then you know you can make alcohol out of anything. And by the way, they didn't have drugs then. You know, you didn't go to the drugstore. Drugs were pretty limited at this period of time. The author is simply saying there is a place for that which helps a person with depression. You know, for various reasons. And you could use that in this case. I don't think I would use alcohol today. I think there's much more effective things. All right, we're going to look at depression, biochemistry, and the Christian this morning. Let's pray. Our Father, I ask your blessings on this hour. May this be a profitable time. I desire to help this morning. I desire to encourage, and I would ask, Lord, this day would be that for everyone here, that we'd get a clear handle on how our body relates to the mind and our moods. We would ask this now in Christ's name. Amen. I was talking to my wife this morning. I have no idea when this happened other than it was in my years, I was in St. Louis. Call from my mother. She told me my brother was, I don't remember what she said. Did she say he was losing his mind? Did she say he was going crazy? I don't know what she said. And she said, my sister-in-law has taken my brother to the hospital in Alton, Illinois. Would you, you know? And I said, well, I'll go meet him. So sometime many years ago, I drove over from St. Louis area to Alton, Illinois, and I met my brother and his wife in the hospital in Alton, one of the hospitals. And my brother, he was talking bizarre. I mean, he was just talking incessantly. Just, and you're just like, he just wouldn't shut up. You couldn't put the cork in. He just kept talking. And he was talking silliness. And he was all over the place. And the doctor came in. And the doctor, first of all, did what he should have done. He did a full, did a bunch of tests. Everything came back normal. My brother just kept talking. I mean, he just kept talking off of his head. And my brother's 4 years older than me. We're not friends. He hasn't liked me, and I haven't liked him since childhood. It's a mutual thing. We get along okay now because we don't see each other. After a point in time, my brother said, Ralph, I want to talk to you. So Kathy went some other place. The doctor wasn't there. This is what my brother said to me. He said, Ralph, that doctor says I'm crazy. He says, I'm going to whip that doctor, and I don't know if I can whip that doctor, and you're going to have to help me whip that doctor. And this just kept going on and on. Finally, the doctor said, talk to Kathy and me, and I didn't know what Bill's problem was. But see, I'm not as, frankly, the emergency room doctor wasn't too bright, which unfortunately is not uncommon among emergency room physicians. The doctor admitted him to the psych ward. I don't know what they called it, for a psych evaluation. Now, this is a short story, folks. I could give you the long version. My brother did not have a psychiatric problem. I'll wait till some of you kind of get up here. He did not have a psychiatric problem. My brother has a couple of little problems. Probably back surgery, which causes a lot of pain. And he had a problem since somewhere in his 20s where he develops. Any of you ever had a kidney stone? Jim, how many of you had?
One. That was more than enough.
My brother has had somewhere around 100. And that's not an exaggeration. I can remember 1 week he had 7 in 1 day. He's had everything known under the sun. They've gone in there with goop and tried to pull him out. They've done the explosions, where the kind of waves are supposed to dissolve him. He grows them. So you just imagine, it causes you pain. Dietmar? By the way, brother crazy. But it had nothing to do with this. Zero. With the fact that my brother couldn't sleep, never went into, I think it's REM sleep. So every time he would to doze, the pain would wake him up, and this was a gradual thing that went on over a period of about a year and a half or 2 years. It appeared that he was nutty as a loon, when in reality was he was just like they torture people. Keeping them awake, never letting them go to sleep. This went on for about 2 years. Once he got a real doctor that looked beyond the surface, the problem, my brother was as normal as can be. Let me ask you a question. Do you realize that depression is not always about sin? It's rarely about what people call it. But there's a lot of factors that can factor into your life. Many factors. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. Y'all with me? Got your attention? This isn't make-believe stuff, folks. This is the real world. I have in your notes, I want to ask a simple question. Not real simple. What is the relationship to biochemistry, to depression? What should the Christian think? And I'm assuming the Christian should think. My first statement is just real simple, and I have all the points in your notes. There is a biochemical side to depression. I tend to think in the past, Christians tended to call that stuff like this. My guess is that's what we called it. Maybe. But by the way, folks, there's no question that there is if you don't like the term biochemistry, you can use genetic. There is an element of this that does affect people's ability to deal with the real world. You ever heard somebody called a melancholic? Somehow I think they're geared a little differently. I have this in your notes. And I'm not going to have time to write this. You should know this. You can write this and you can read this on your own. And this is found many places in the Scripture. But Romans 8, 19 to 23 talks about the fall and the effects of the fall on the world and on mankind. And that's where we're going. I say in your notes, this is also consistent with what the Scripture teaches about fallen human nature. And you must understand, folks, if we believe, which I'm assuming everybody in this room, more or less, maybe with a few exceptions, understands, that as a Christian, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, lots of bad things happened. They didn't just become a sinner separated from God, but they began to die. And every person that's ever been born into this world was not born with the body that God gave Adam or the body they will one day have. So there is an element that when a person's born into this world, this body is not the way God originally intended. When someone tells me there might be a gene, might be, that gives a person a tendency towards a certain sin, I don't have a problem with that. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us our nature is twisted and fallen. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't give you an excuse to do that. I'm just simply saying your human nature and mine is fallen. It has weaknesses. It has tendencies. By the way, you have to believe that if you believe what Paul talks about the first Adam and the second Adam. Romans 5, Ephesians 2, it's through the whole Bible. Because something's wrong. By the way, not just that we're a sinner. I say that in your notes. I think it's the next statement. Well, I'm just going to say it. This is for John back there. The hardware and the software have been defaced, deformed, and twisted. You see, sometimes when we think of depression, we think of depression here in the mind. But understand, the mind is not the... Everything about you got messed up when Adam fell. Not only the mind, but the body too. That's the reason we have diseases. That's the reason we have problems. So, the hardware and the software is messed up. We are both sinful and dying. And I think that's pretty fundamental to what we have to look at. Now, in your notes, I say this, medical or biochemical causes to depression seem to be of two kinds. There's, first of all, depression caused or more or less caused by a medical condition. A medical condition. If you've never worked in a hospital, you just won't think about this. If you've been around a hospital setting long, you'll start to realize certain medical conditions, and if you study this, they're oftentimes associated with people that are depressed. The medical condition itself. As I say in your notes, sometimes, or even most of the time, the causal pathway. Otherwise, why does this disease related to depression? The causal pathway. It's not always understood how this causes this. Or does it cause it, or is it somehow works together with it, this disease? That isn't a question that I don't want to get into. Other than to say, I think everybody that's been around people that have been sick realizes these are connected a lot of times. So sometimes, or most of the time, the causal pathway is not known or clear. But people with certain disease states often suffer from depression. Here is two givens to me. In almost any chronic illness, if a person has a long-term, chronic, debilitating illness, like Bill Burfield had. Folks, the difference between Bill Burfield 3 years ago, when he first went into the nursing home, and the difference in the last 6 months was day is from night. The last 6 months, I would go in there, Jenny went with me a few weeks ago, he would complain the whole time. And you realize the physical brain was degenerating. Look at me in the eyes. He was dying. And there's repercussions to that. You know, you have both hardware, a body, and you also have a mind, and you can't separate the two. Secondly, and this is also kind of obvious, almost any end-state disease, when a person gets down towards the end. I saw this in St. Louis with the Beats. Do you remember her mom, Mary's mom, had diabetes? I don't know if you knew that. And she'd lost her eyesight. She had all kinds of problems. Well, she called Mary wanting to commit suicide. And you say, oh my goodness, that's a sin. Well, when you're that far down, and she died within months, and she couldn't see, she had all kinds of secondary effects of diabetes, your tendency is to get depressed. Almost this will get you there. So by the way, folks, if you have a family member that's in any disease, don't go up and be a sinner. Get them. You know, you shouldn't ever play the little spiritual game with people in that condition. I give some other ones in here. The thyroid, I know, messes up everything, whether it's too much or too little. Parkinson's, multiple sclerosis, epilepsy, lupus. And lupus is an autoimmune disease, which is, that's probably one of the most difficult diseases to even understand. Cushing's disease, any kind of major surgery can bring on an episode. Do I need to mention the next three? Now, my question, and this is a sincere question. Folks, this is something that you as a Christian have to be aware of. The question out to the right is the real thing. Why does this affect some women more than others? And that's a hard question. Well, you know, pretty much all women have, I think anyhow, have PMS. Almost all women are going to go through menopause. Some women, this honestly, some women go through menopause and literally with no effects to amount to anything. There's other women. I can remember when I was in Bible college, I talked to the president of the school, and there was a lady on faculty there, and her husband was on faculty, and she went into la-la land during menopause. I mean, la-la-la-la land. Now, you know, by the way, to point your finger at this person and say, you need to get a grip, probably won't work. For whatever reason, her hormones are different than even a normal woman. She's going to need some help, look at me, during that time. That's all. I think it's pretty straightforward. Postpartum changes, I think there's definitely, and by the way, some women have that more than others. Some women really go into the trough. Some women, it doesn't seem to bother very much. Christy doesn't have time to go through that this time. I mean, she was depressed because of Tom, but no. But I mean, you know, some women have this, some women don't. Why more? Why? I don't know. As I say in your notes, and boy, this is kind of where, and I'm a simple guy when it comes to stuff like this. The most important thing to remember is get a complete, comprehensive physical. If you think this is related to your body, like my brother, come on, folks. My brother never had this problem. This is not something genetic in our family. And my brother's talking off the top of his head. Once he got a real doctor that looked beyond the surface of, well, your glucose is normal, the doctor knew immediately what the problem was. Get a real doctor. And I want to repeat. Get a real doctor. If you have to pay lots, get a real doctor. Not one on the internet. Not one of your friends. Not a quack from down the street. Get a real doctor that'll do real tests and really look for what's wrong. Too many people settle for, I got news for you. Somebody in my family is really sick. They're not going to certain people. If you want to know who, talk to me afterwards. And most important of all, do not self-diagnose. And do not self-medicate. And this is one of the most common things people do today. They decide what their problem is. You know, one of the first things they teach you in medical school is don't self-diagnose. Because when you're going through medical school and you're learning about diseases, have you ever talked to a doctor? You have all of those diseases. Until you can step back and realize, I'm not supposed to diagnose myself. This means you don't go to one of those funky little websites. And then you go to the doctor and say, I have this. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Y'all with me? Just don't do that. Go to a real doctor. Or go to several real doctors. If you think there's some kind of a physical cause. Understand, I know I'm horrible. I talked to my wife about this last night. I am a very medically oriented person. And I don't mean by that I like medicine. I mean, when something happens, I actually stop. I don't get emotional. I don't even pray. I actually ask questions. I've been having problems in the last couple months sleeping. I sleep bizarre. And you know, I'm not a person that's ever had a problem with sleeping. I told my wife, is this right, Jenny? I've only had two things that have changed in the last 3 months. You say, why do you say that? Because I'm figuring one of those two things is causing me to sleep weird. Does that not make sense to you? Oh, you'd rather pray, fast, go online and find out it's some weird disease. No, it's probably something simple. I did it again last night. See my hand? In the middle of the night, I don't even dream. I never remember dreams. In the middle of the night, I'm on a school bus. You know when the last time I was on a school bus? I'm on a school bus, and I'm reaching down under the seat, and there's all kinds of trash, and out of there comes a rattlesnake, and I hit the rattlesnake. The problem is, it's the little thing right beside our bed that I have the nightstand, and I hit the nightstand, and it hurt, and it bled. By the way, when you have a problem, just ask real questions. Some people get all spiritual, or they get all fuzzy-headed. It's like, get a real doctor. Let him find out what's going on. Next in your notes, there is a second kind of depression that's biochemical. It's depression caused by a chemical imbalance, which I'm going to be positive here and negative in a minute. I say in your notes, this is commonly diagnosed today. It is undoubtedly overdiagnosed and misdiagnosed. However, and this is a big however, for a small, and I mean small, small, small group, the use of modern, post-1988, depression medications takes the edge off. It gives them clarity to work on their depression and live life fully. And I mean, there is a small group of people. And by the way, out of 100%, that's probably 1, 2, 3% of people. For whatever reason, and by the way, we'll talk about this in a moment, they just have some sort of a problem, and just the medication takes care of the entire problem. There's somebody in this church like that, and there is not a person in this room that could guess who it is. You couldn't guess if your life depended on it, because the person's never depressed. That's what's weird. But that's a very small percentage of people I have in your notes. Next. About 1 in 5. And by the way, you notice I said modern medication, post-1988. We're not talking about the old tricyclics and all that stuff. I'm talking about Prozac and after, which is a whole group of drugs after that. And if you want to know what the drugs are, ask Mike over here. Mike sells the drugs. He can sell them out of his car. No, he can't either, folks. I'm messing around. You better not be. You'll be in trouble. I say in your notes, about 1 in 5, about 20% of people suffering from depression have a medical cause. So that's quite a bit, actually. About 1 in 5, 20% of people suffering from depression have a medical cause of one variety or another. Almost all of these are from a medical condition. Only a very small percentage is from the what's called a chemical imbalance. I'm going to say again, there's some medical problems that just cause big problems. They just do. When I first came to this church, skip forward 3 years ago, Bill Burfield, I would get reports, Bill is dying. Every single time Bill was dying, it was the same problem. His glucose was way out of whack. You know, you get a person with glucose 400, 500, 600, their body just wacky. It didn't have to do with anything else. I can remember a lady one night that came into the hospital. Well, this is years ago. She was the only second person in my lifetime that ever witnessed me in public. She would witness to every person in that ER, every person. Her glucose was 1,600. And I'm thinking, you can't live with a 1,600. Some of you have no idea what medicine is. 1,600 doesn't mean anything to you. Well, you can't live that high. We started bringing her down gradually. The next morning, her glucose was normal and she died. But by the way, these things affect your body. They just do. In your notes, remember, biochemistry or genetics is only one possible cause, and not the major cause at that. It's only one of the causes. Too many people, by the way, let me ask you a question. Why do you think we go to the drugs first? It's easy. Then my second question is, all right, after we're on the drugs, why are we still depressed? Why haven't we stepped back and say, well, this isn't happening? Most of the cases. By the way, again, Ralph Warren understands some of the chemistry, the genetics. I understand for some people they need things. But the problem is in America, right now, prescriptions, not for doses, 1 million prescriptions of Prozac a month in America. I don't know how many means Paxil and all the others. We shouldn't have depressed people. Well, I don't know if Paxil is terrible or not. Number two in your notes. Here's where it gets a little uglier. The biochemical side is not fully understood. Several new drugs are prescribed for depression with some success. How they work is not so well known or well understood. When I was in St. Louis, I think it was toward the end of my time there, a person came to me, and I have no idea who it is. And they said they went to their doctor, and their doctor said they had a chemical imbalance. Now understand, I work in a laboratory. I'm the guy that did all the tests. And I'm thinking, a what? I remember it was like, and I thought, well, maybe something's developed since I've been up. So I called some people that I knew. Are there some new tests out there for what these people call chemical imbalances? The answer is? No, there isn't. This is not a mean statement, just fact in your notes. The facts about chemical imbalances. Number one, there are no tests for a chemical imbalance. Doesn't exist. By the way, not of what's popularly called that. Now, there's lots of tests you can do in a laboratory. But what's popularly called, well, I just have a chemical imbalance. That doesn't really exist. There's not really, you know, you don't come in and, you know, do some electrolytes and do the chemical imbalance test. Now, they might do some tests on you. They might do some kind of a Chem 20 or something where they do, you know, glucose, BUN, creatinine, and all the stuff, Charles, yes, I still remember and know and all that. They might do those, but by the way, those aren't chemical imbalance tests. So there is no real test. Number two in your notes, the doctor is not talking about specific chemicals, which is hard for some people to accept. Simply stated, this is exactly what happens. The doctor prescribes the depression medication, and if it works, you have a chemical imbalance. I'm not lying. I'm not mad. Look at me. This is exactly what they do. Every person that's ever told me I have a chemical imbalance, I ask, what test did they do for that? How do you know you have that? Well, the doctor told me. But actually, which is the reverse now. Now patients go to the doctor and say, I have a chemical imbalance. Can you give me some drugs? Because they've seen it on television. They even tell them which one they want, which is another whole problem with medicine today. Are you all with me? Does this just make sense to you folks? Just be very careful about that. I say in your notes, this doesn't mean there isn't a chemical imbalance, just that we shouldn't just do drugs and forget the other factors. That's my problem with all of this silliness. Of course, there's also the chicken and the egg problem. You all know what the chicken and the egg problem is? What causes the chemical imbalance? What causes these problems? Maybe it's because of something you're doing, but we don't want to ask about that. Well, real quickly, I'm just going to state a few things about the modern antidepressants. There is some good news. Folks, when I was in the laboratory in the early days, antidepressant drugs had to be highly monitored. I was reading your book. I remember them not from the popular name, but from more the, what would you call it, the other name? Yeah, the chemical name or whatever. That's because that's what we were testing from. It amazed me how many diazepam. I mean, we used to test for diazepam constantly. About 14 of them now that they're like spinoffs of that. They've done little chemical changes. Modern antidepressants, I'm not saying you should go to the doctor one, because frankly, of the people that I know have taken them, they haven't helped them much, except that little small percentage. And a few other people that understood how to use them. But I will say some things because I think it's important. The new modern antidepressants are not highly addictive, which, oh my goodness, was Valium addictive? And a lot of the other ones, frankly, some of the other ones were just dangerous, especially if you took them in large. I mean, they were very dangerous. Next in your notes, they are relatively safe, especially when compared to the older antidepressants. Relatively safe. They have few, if any, complications or side effects. And I will say this, and I mean this, they are helpful in severe depression. When a person is in a severe funk, you're going to have to do something. So if you have a family member or a friend that I'm not talking about that gets depressed, and hold on, and understand, there's so many causes to depression. If a person won't work and sits around and mopes all day, they're going to be depressed. Of course. If you don't have purpose in life, you're going to be depressed. If you sit around and daydream about moving to Hawaii and you can't go to Hawaii, you're going to be depressed. Some of depression problems are just stupid. And Christians just keep doing them over and over. You know, you can give you drugs until you're dead. You're never going to get out of your depression until you get a life. You say, that's horrible advice. No, it's what reality is. Most people that aren't depressed, they got something to do. You know, Gene Losey has more to be depressed about than anybody in this room. His health isn't good. He can't do what he used to do. Talk to Gene on any day. He has a whole list of stuff he's doing. He's got more planned than he'll ever get done in two lifetimes. Where we're sitting around, what am I going to do today? Well, wondering what's on television. Oh, well, sure you're going to be depressed. By the way, don't let you, your spouse, or anybody in your family play the little health game. Sharon Vasilovich has worse health than anybody I think in this room. Have you seen her depressed lately? She has rheumatoid arthritis of the really bad kind. Fact is, if it wasn't for some modern rheumatoid drugs, she wouldn't be alive. She's had both knees replaced, a shoulder replaced. How are you doing? Well, I better get back on this because I want to finish. So they're not highly addictive, relatively safe, few if any complications, are helpful in severe depression, and do not depend on anybody else. So, you know, if you're going to some kind of a psychologist, you don't have to go to one with this. The bad news about antidepressants, I got to say these two. There's a much higher rate of relapse when only using drugs. Otherwise, people that just go to the doctor and get some drugs, it doesn't usually help them. It almost never helps them. Because there's only a small percentage of people that's the real issue. Most people, it's something else. So they have gone there thinking this is the easy way out to drugs, and if that doesn't work, as Mike told me, they'll take two drugs now, and we just take more and more, and we go to several doctors, and we get drugs from all over the world. Doesn't really do the problem. Doesn't deal with anything. So people that just do drugs, by the way, this is not according to Ralph Warren. This is according to studies. This is stuff I've read in certain studies. There can be some unpleasant side effects, which I will not mention. Very small and only in certain people. This is one of the things that bugs me. 50% chance, 50 to 60% chance the initial drug will not help you at all. There are significant risks for pregnant women, which pretty much everything else has that too. And worst of all, the drug tends to reinforce the medical or disease model. And what does a disease model do to you? Everyone look at me in the eyes. I'll give you the exact words, but you better hear what I got to say. Most people, the moment you mention anything to them about any problem, they'll say something as intelligent as this. Just the way, I am. Which means, can't do anything about it. I'm just depressed. I'm just lazy. See, that's not a Christian way of thinking about life. So if you're thinking about life like either you're not a Christian, or you're not taking Christianity and applying it to your life. Because Christians don't say, well, that's just the way I am. You know, I'm just, what if you're, you know, I'm just a drunk. You know, I'm just depressed. I'm just, I think I said on Wednesday night, what's interesting to me that much of the treatment drunk is the same treatment you give a depressed person. Because drunks think a lot like depressed people, and depressed people think like drunks. You hear the word? The way they view the world. Drugs tend to reinforce the disease model, making you a passive and a victim. And that's what bothers me about this. Number three in your notes. Here's where Pastor Warren can make some people mad, and so be it. And we do not have an eraser. That's good. Well, I won't put it up there. Look in your notes at the passage, Lamentations 2. This is about other things, but I want you to see the principle, the causation. In Lamentations, Jeremiah realized the people of Israel had been, he says, thy prophets have seen vain and foolish things for thee. And they have not discovered thine iniquity to turn away thy captivity, but have seen for thee false burdens and causes of banishment. Number three in your notes, there are false biochemical causes of depression. I list three of them in your notes. Now, you'll have to listen to this. And by the way, I already know I'll get people mad. And I did this on purpose because I wanted to get people mad. If I don't get you mad, I don't even get your attention. I was in Bible college in 1981 to 1986. Somewhere about 82 or 83, there's a family moved in right down below with Jenny and I. Jenny knows who they were. And the wife came to me, and she knew I worked in a hospital, and she said, I'm suffering from hypoglycemia. Well, hypo means low, correct? And there is such a thing as hypoglycemia. I mean, I've seen people come in the... If you get below 30 glucose, you're at death level. So somewhere between 30 and 65 would be low glucose and problematic. You could pass out. You could have severe headaches. You could be all kinds of things. So the lady said, I'm suffering from hypoglycemia. And I remember talking to her. She was a young girl. She was 19? Okay. She was a kid. She's 19 years old. She says she's suffering from hypoglycemia. And I remember asking her, what are your symptoms? I'm going to read the symptoms. You don't mind if I read? You can read them with me. They're in your notes. She said, I'm tired all the time. I have no energy. I'm in pain. I'm achy. Which, by the way, doctors call that undifferentiated pain. It's not from a certain thing. It's just I'm pain all the time. And I can't get out of bed. I said, okay. So what I'll do is I'll draw a fasting glucose tomorrow, and anytime you want, when you're feeling hypoglycemic, I'll just draw a glucose if I'm around. I'll just take it to work and run it. So I drew a glucose and I ran it. Understand, a glucose, I don't want to bore you with tears, is somewhere between 65 and 115. Somewhere around that's a normal glucose, 65 to 115. Most normal people are going to run in the 80s, 90s, you know, 100, somewhere in there, but that's normal. I'm thinking, well, maybe she has a low glucose, or maybe it's on the low side. Her glucose was like 102. I think I ran on this girl 5, 6, 7 glucoses over a period of time. I started hearing this all over. People said, I'm suffering from hypoglycemia. And the symptoms were always the same. Look me in the eyes. The symptoms were always the same. Can't get out of bed. I feel achy all the time. I got all these pains. I don't have any energy. I found that, by the way, do you know how they treated those people? Depression medication. Well, in the 1990s, another disease came online. Anybody know what that is? Chronic fatigue syndrome. I started having people that I knew talk to me about chronic fatigue syndrome. Now, folks, chronic fatigue syndrome is not really a disease. We kind of use it as a categorization of people that were positive for what's called EBV and CMV, Epstein-Barr virus and cytomegalovirus, which I know you're familiar with these tests. And I started running cytomegalovirus tests and Epstein-Barr virus tests on people that complained of, are you listening? No energy, lots of pain, can't get out of bed, tired all the time. And they were never positive. And I found out, how did their doctors treat them? With depression medication. I'm like, what in the world is going on? This is not some kind of a fantasy of Ralph Warren. My wife has a relative, which names will remain unmentioned because he's a good guy, that married a woman like this. Oh, by the way, let's go back to the young girl that was suffering from hypoglycemia. She was 19 years old. You know what else she was suffering from? New marriage. Some doctors should have thought, you know, you just got married. My wife has a cousin, marries a young lady. The young lady, to say the least, and by the way, I like her cousin. He's a very good guy. Not real scintillating, just a good guy. He's a godly guy and a good guy, but nothing, you know, that some woman's going, oh, there he is. You know, he's just a good guy. She married him, and she took a step down in life. It was some of her rebellion. About 3 years into this, she developed chronic fatigue syndrome. Every time this or Thanksgiving that we see her, oh, so much pain, I can't get out of bed. Now, interestingly enough, she never wanted to talk to me about whether she was Epstein-Barr virus or cytomegalovirus positive or anything like that. But what was more interesting was, I don't know, was it 10 years later? She met another fellow, got pregnant by him, and suddenly didn't have that problem anymore. And left our cousin. And you know how she was treated all these years she had at chronic fatigue syndrome? Well, I come to this church and I run into the next one. And you say, Pastor, you're being mean. Yes, I am. All of a sudden, we have a new disease. Fibromyalgia. I looked up on the internet yesterday from a fibromyalgia organization. Guess what the characteristics are? Different pain every place. Kicked out of bed, stiff in the morning. No. So. Now, you hear me very carefully, and look at me. I'm going to give you the stuff in the notes. Forget your notes for a minute. Never go to a medical doctor depressed, because he'll give you a diagnosis of something and treat you for a depression. He has no business treating you for depression. He's not trained in that area. And you're not getting real medical help. You're getting a doctor that's blowing you off. So if he's treating you for depression, this is what my suggestion is. Get you another real doctor, get a complete physical checkup, and if there's nothing physically wrong, some of you will hate me for this, go to a clinic that has a psychiatrist that can prescribe depression medications and some decent psychologists, maybe there's even some Christians, and get yourself some help. Quit calling it, oh, I'm just, I have chronic fatigue depression. I have fibromyalgia. I have... By the way, folks, I'm done with that. And you should be too. You should want a doctor to really diagnose you and not just treat your depression. And he's not even trained to treat your depression. He's just giving you drugs to get rid of you. He don't want to deal with you. Are you all with me? So, you say, Pastor, do these diseases exist? I have already told you. I know two of them exist. Hypoglycemia is a real problem in some people that their glucose goes like this. The fact is, it's deadly. There is no question there are some people that have what's categorized as chronic fatigue syndrome because of certain viruses. But folks, if you're treated for a depression, get some real treatment. Get some real help. Don't go to a medical doctor that just gives you drugs like candy. By the way, you ever notice these people don't get over it? And throw one other thing at you. Most of the time, when you look back, you'll know why they're depressed. There's some crisis brought it on, but that's another statement altogether. I know, you guys really, So I say again, I think I have it in your notes. Go to a real clinic, get a real complete checkup, and if it's a real medical condition, do not allow the doctor to treat you for depression. Why in the world would you be treated for depression if you have a medical condition? You'd be treated in other ways. If it's not a medical condition, get some real help. Don't be treating it as a medical condition. Does anybody have questions on that? This is about as popular as saying you're a fan of Hitler in America. But I'm going to say this. I worked around the medical field and I got tired of seeing people get lied to by doctors that don't want to deal with you. They don't want to deal with your student. Ladies, especially if you're a woman, you go to a medical doctor, he's just not going to sit there and hug you for an hour. He's going to call it something and give you some depression medication and get rid of you. If you find out that's what's being happened, do me a favor. Grow up and go to some place where they might be able to help you because the drugs isn't working. Has that happened in this church? And all these people self-diagnose. Number four. And this is where we come down to. Next week and the next 2 weeks, we're going to deal with that. The biochemical side is not sufficient. I have no problem with treating people with using drugs in certain cases. I realize that. I mean, the Proverbs talks about, and this is the only drug they would have had then. They wouldn't have, the drugs we have today, which are unbelievable. But on top of all of that is, Paul says in 1 Timothy, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable in all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So there's something to say, if you think the only solution is I just need a pill, the Bible seems to indicate there's other factors. Simply stated, and I don't have place to draw right here, you have a body or a brain, the physical brain. You have a mind, and you also have a soul or a spirit. And as a Christian, I actually believe you have all three of those. I don't think you just have this. Some Christians think you just have a soul. You don't have a body. You know, you have a body. The body can influence things. How we think can influence things. And then there are matters of the heart that very much influence things. Look at Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. As I say in your notes, some want to treat only the brain. Give them a pill. You know, it's a biochemical. Give them a pill or get rid of them. Some want to treat only the mind. Get them involved in therapy. I think as a Christian would treat both and the soul. They realize there's more to it than just the body, just the mind. There's also the soul. We would recognize the body is a unity with several parts, and all must be looked at. Let's pray. Father, I ask your blessing on this time this morning. May this have been profitable. May this have opened up some ideas so for us to see the what goes on in our country. And more than that, so we can get help for our friends, family, ourselves. Use your word today. Teach us, we ask, in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, folks.